From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A Superior Court judge has ruled the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services may have falsely conjured an emergency to enact Medicaid payment cuts. Anchorage Daily News reported Monday that a judge ruled a lawsuit against the state raises serious and substantial questions regarding the emergency finding. The Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association's July lawsuit says the department unlawfully declared an emergency to cut Medicaid payments to healthcare providers by up to 7%. DHSS Commissioner Adam Crum issued an emergency finding in June, allowing almost immediate rate cuts while circumventing some of the public input process usually required. Crum's finding says the emergency was a result of Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's 2020 fiscal budget. It significantly underfunded the Medicaid program. Crum is a Dunleavy appointee. A plan to convert Ketchikan's former pulp mill into a private cruise destination is coming under scrutiny from state and federal agencies. The first phase of the $50 million project at Ward Cove is being reviewed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
At an open house in July, developer's attorney Stephen Bradford told reporters that there's a feeling in Ketchikan that downtown's becoming saturated by cruise ships.
Ketchikan reached 1 million visitors a couple of summers ago, and it really prompted a discussion of when is enough enough.
Bradford is an attorney for a group of developers that's proposing a solution to that problem. More berth space for more ships, 7 miles north of town. A partnership between the Spokley and Binkley families is working with Norwegian Cruise Lines on converting the city's former pulp mill into an entertainment complex that could eventually be a destination unto itself. The property's been owned by father and son David and Andrew Spokley since 2011. The Binkley family partners are based in Fairbanks. Their father, John Binkley, is president of the state's cruise ship industry group, CLIA. The major regulatory hurdle lies with the Army Corps of Engineers. It has to vet plans to build a 500-foot floating dock that could accommodate both of Norwegian Cruise Line's megaship sisters, the Joy and Bliss, as soon as next year.
We were just very concerned because those ships are over 1,000 feet long.
Benjamin Story is the region's environmental manager for the Alaska Department of Transportation. He wrote a letter raising questions about the project. It was among more than 30 obtained by Coast Alaska following a Freedom of Information request with the Army Corps.
We were really surprised that they had projected how fast they would build it up, because on our end, when we realized like all the agencies and the amount of consultation we have to go through, we were like, how is that even possible?
Ward Cove is already home to the Alaska Marine Highway System's layup dock and headquarters. The U.S. Coast Guard is working with DOT to develop a risk assessment to look at navigation concerns on the cove. It hasn't been completed. There's also scrutiny for the Department of Environmental Conservation over building over the contaminated former mill site. The pulp mill operated from the 1950s up until 1997 and was a major employer in town. But following its closure, the EPA put a number of restrictions on the site to keep pollution from leaching into the wider environment. EPA wouldn't comment except to say it had requested the Army Corps give it another month to weigh in. The comment period has been extended until September 19th. Sally Schlichting of the DEC's Contaminated Sites Program wouldn't say in any detail what her agency's concerns are, but she says there's a lot of history in Ward Cove.
We have quite an extensive environmental record for this site, 6 file boxes worth at least.
She says DEC will be looking at the proposed floating dock.
But we're also looking at the long-term use of the facility. It's not just the construction of the dock itself, but also as a cruise ship dock with cruise ship traffic and activity.
Decades of logs and other debris dumped at Ward Cove led to an EPA-approved closure plan that puts restrictions on the property. A sand layer was placed over about 27 acres of seafloor nearly 2 decades ago. It's at most 1 foot deep and is designed to help bottom-dwelling organisms recover. The floating dock is being designed by Turnagain Marine Construction of Anchorage. The company's president, Jason Davis, says the design takes that into account.
You know, I think this is a very responsible and very appropriate development for Ward Cove.
And there's plenty of room.
This facility is designed so that there's enough maneuvering room for all the Ward Cove dock users. And you know, we're designing that to kind of the standard of the industry for vessel navigation.
It's unclear whether the project will receive its permits in time for next year's cruise season, but that remains the developer's goal. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The city of Fairbanks is reaching out to local businesses to help support its emergency service patrol, which provides transport of intoxicated people from city streets to safety. The long-running service can be life-saving, especially during the winter. City spokesperson Teal Soden says the ESP is supported by a mix of funds from the city, the Downtown Association, the North Star Borough, and the state. But the state share is declining, and the city is trying to fill that hole.
reach out to the businesses is kind of a new idea that we came up with last year after the council asked us to see if we could get some financial support from the community.
Soden says the Emergency Service Patrol relieves response pressure on city and emergency medical service providers and generally benefits the downtown community.
The businesses downtown, it benefits the residents, it benefits tourism, and so we're really hoping that people can see that benefit and that they want to contribute to it as well.
Soden says a $250,000 state grant for the Emergency Service Patrol program, awarded in 2014, helped fund the patrol through 2017. Alaska State Troopers have made an arrest in a 41-year-old Anchorage murder case. It's the second time this year state law enforcement has found a suspect in a long-stalled investigation using the new technique known as genetic genealogy. The case goes back to January of 1978.
A young woman by the name of Shelley Conley was left on the side of the Seward Highway for dead.
Colonel Barry Wilson announced the news at a press conference in Anchorage today.
This past Friday, 62-year-old Donald F. McQuaid was taken into custody in Grisham, Oregon, and charged with murder in the first degree and murder in the second degree for the death of Shelley.
Connolly was just 16 years old when she was found murdered and sexually assaulted. Though investigators had interviewed suspects in the past, none of those leads went anywhere. A break came early this year when the Department of Public Safety submitted a DNA sample from the case to a genetic database. In the last few years, a number of high-profile cold cases have been revived by so-called genetic genealogy, matching DNA evidence from criminal investigations with records kept by private commercial services. The Department of Public Safety says the genetic match identified three brothers who could have fit the profile. One, Donald McQuaid, lived in Alaska at the time of the murder. According to troopers, a subsequent conventional DNA test on McQuaid was a match, prompting his arrest. The Washington, D.C. tour bus driver who accidentally hit and killed Skagway's mayor and her mother during a trip to the nation's capital has pleaded guilty. He now faces up to 4 years in jail for two counts of felony negligent homicide. Skagway Mayor Monica Carlson and her mother, Cora Louise Adams, were visiting the White House's Christmas decorations as tourists last December. They were in a crosswalk on Pennsylvania Avenue when driver Gerard James made an illegal left turn while talking on a cell phone. That's according to video footage from inside the bus that emerged in court. The 61-year-old mayor and her 85-year-old mother were hit, taken to an area hospital, and pronounced dead. The 45-year-old driver had decades of driving experience without major incidents and no criminal history, the court heard. His attorney said he accepted a plea deal because he wanted to take responsibility for his negligence. He's apologized to the family ahead of his sentencing, which is slated for mid-November. Monica Carlson had been Skagway's mayor since 2017. Her term expires this year and is being completed by Andrew Cremata. He says the community is still grieving. And two Alaska Native artists from St. Lawrence Island spent several days in Juneau sharing their work. The couple's residency culminated with a blanket toss, with a walrus hide blanket finished only minutes before. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin was there and has this story.
Around 70 people are gathered outside the Sea Alaska building in downtown Juneau on a sunny afternoon, and John Wai tells them to grunt.
Let's hear it. Yeah, I feel like I'm on the ice pack. There's a whole herd of walrus. Okay, let's go like this again now, guys.
A couple young helpers hurry to thread a thick rope through the holes around the edge of the walrus hide blanket. They're finishing the handles. Wai and his wife Arlene use the time to teach the crowd a walrus dance from their hometown, Savunga, on St. Lawrence Island in the Bering Sea.
It's like a 14-foot trampoline, but in this case, people grab onto the rope around the edges, and a toss leader will direct everybody to fall in unison and propel a person up. Based on experience, they can go higher and higher.
When the handles are done, one crucial thing is still missing. People, lots of them, to grab hold of the handles and pull. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell does a little last-minute recruitment, calling out to passersby on the street.
We need pullers! Come and help! Come and help!
Worrell asked Wai to create the blanket during his week-long artist residency at the Institute. He had the hide already, from a couple thousand-pound walrus he harvested years ago to feed his family. The home of the blanket toss, like walrus, is far from southeast Alaska.
It's in the Inuit, Inupiaq, Siberian Yupik. It's predominantly an up-north event. Nalukatuk is what they call it. It's a celebration of the harvest of the bowhead whale.
But in more recent years, the blanket toss has become a feature across Alaska in competitive events like the World Eskimo Indian Olympics and Native Youth Olympics. When enough polars have grabbed hold of the blanket, Juneau Native Youth Olympics coach Kyle Worrell is the first up. He climbs onto the blanket and steadies himself as he's lifted a few feet above the ground. He double-checks everyone understands the process. A few gentle pulls as he counts down, and then the big one.
Plank. Death. Nusk.
He lands a tidy backflip. The second and final jumper of the day is 9-year-old Race Catchatag, a young relative of the Waiyees who lives in Juneau. It's his first time jumping, and he does so cross-legged. He leaves the blanket grinning.
I thought I was going to fall, like, hit the ground, but I didn't.
He offers this advice to first-time blanket toss jumpers.
Just believe in yourself.
The blanket Waiyee created will be used for blanket toss competitions in Juneau for years to come. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
And finally, residents of a small Alaska city purchased a one-way airplane ticket for a woman they believe to be dealing drugs as a way of fighting the spread of narcotics there. Anchorage Daily News reported Saturday that about 40 Galena residents gathered at its airport last week. Residents say they sent a representative to an arriving plane to tell a passenger they believed to be a methamphetamine dealer that they would pay her airfare to leave. The woman chose to remain on the plane and take a departing flight after being told she would be closely watched if she remained. The mayor of the 475-member community, 270 miles west of Fairbanks, says drug dealers are known to residents who nonetheless encounter legal difficulties in stopping their activities. Looking at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight, mostly cloudy, patchy fog, slight chance of rain, lows around 50. Wednesday, mostly sunny, areas of fog, visibility 1 mile or less at times, highs around 60. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.